A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Four Center Presents Databank Dive. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and I'm excited to be saying hello there to our topic today. We're having a ton of fun doing this show. We're diving into the weirder, the wilder, sometimes the funnier side of characters, places, stuff in Star Wars. Really enjoying doing this, Ken.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun doing this for the fine folks over the Companion. There's a full season over there exclusively on the Companion app. Great sci-fi source if you like Star Trek, Stargate, Star Wars, and all those kind of things. Not just stars, other things as well. But we had so much fun. Part of the fun of doing this is when we pick it out, we alternate the topic. So we don't necessarily surprise each other with it on this particular show, but we know what's coming in. But we surprise each other in the email for what's coming. And I felt this was time. I had the power today, and I was like, you know, I thought we did this already. No, we did not. I think we've just celebrated or talked or discussed this beast of burden a lot. So today, Joseph, we are going to Tatooine to discuss the EOP.
Oh, I am thrilled to talk about EOPs, and what a great opportunity. Let's see how many times we can actually just say the word EOP, which is a very fun word to say. It sounds like something that I would say accidentally while tripping.
EOP. Absolutely. So as we always do, we start with the basic info, and sometimes we always go to StarWars.com and the databank, which is a really fun thing to do if you just haven't done that. Just go there, poke around, learn some things about some characters, even characters that you know. The databank entries are always kind of fun. Some are straightforward. Some have a little personality to them. And proud to say, because sometimes our choices aren't on the databank, EOPs, of course, very much on the databank, but not a lot. which means we definitely will be going to Wikipedia for more. This is what the databank entry says. Easily domesticated, Eopes served Tatooine settlers as transports and beasts of burden. These tough, desert-adapted quadrupeds can carry heavy loads, but are grumpy and stubborn. Joseph, that tracks. Even if we hadn't read that before, that feels right.
That is their facial expression. That is the truth in the Eopes' eyes. Oh, man. Very relatable. I love this, the idea that they're easily domesticated but are grumpy and stubborn. It's totally this vibe of like, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to put up any resistance. I'll do that, but I'm not going to have a good attitude about it. So who's the winner here, really?
Yeah. It's as if they're sitcom dads from the 90s. That's yep. What's going on here?
I'll do the dishes, but I'm going to be a jerk about it the entire time.
Laugh track. I really love that. It works for a lot of what we know about them. It just makes me love them even more. I feel as though I can relate. That's not all. We're going to go to Wikipedia, as we always do, to get a little bit more flavor in here. And as always, there's a lot more words on Wikipedia, legends tab, canon tab, and the legends tab. I'm pretty sure one Eopie becomes a Jedi at some point. But Eopies are a quadruped mammalian. Mammals. They're mammals. I can't say that word today. Herbivores.
Yeah.
Mammalian. Yeah. Herbivores native to the planet Tatooine. These tough creatures were acclimated to their homeworld's endless deserts and as a result were domesticated by the planet's inhabitants. They often worked as transports or beasts of burden, though they were often bad-tempered and stubborn. Another word to say grumpy, I like that. And could break wind if their load was too heavy. Oh, we're going to come back to that. Eopes were observed to exhibit flatulence. This is the other side of Force Center. As such, when riding a caravan of Eopes, it was recommended to always ride on the foremost animal. Though herbivores by nature, they, much like banthas, were able to consume meat with no ill effects, as shown when Obi-Wan Kenobi's personal Eopie happily munched at the scraps of meat he fed her on a daily basis during his exile on Tatooine. There is a lot going on here. Other than that sounds like me, a vegan at home, a meat eater at a restaurant. That's the struggle I live with. So Eopes, again, we're connected. I feel you. And grumpy and stubborn. Joseph, where do you want to go with all? There's a lot in this.
Oh, there's a lot. But yeah, I'll start there. Not vegan, but my wife is a vegetarian. So around home, we mostly eat vegetarian. Lots of very delicious, very fun fake meat and a lot of cheese. Not vegan. Yeah. A lot of cheese. So then when I go to restaurants, the meat will be enjoyed. But I kind of feel like, look, if I was mostly an herbivore and Obi-Wan Kenobi wanted to hand feed me a little meat, I'd probably gobble it up myself. That's just my personal take.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, when I go to a restaurant, the waiter comes up and I go, the meat is on, the meat. And they're like, sir, please stop. Please leave the restaurant.
Please cosplay as Obi-Wan Kenobi and feed me the steak. Is that a weird thing to ask? Is that weird?
It would help. And yeah, you know what? Look, I got to say, that definitely reads, and I have no problem with this, I'll say up top, definitely reads as though the creators of the Obi-Wan Kenobi series did not look up this part of the Wikipedia entry that the herbivores and
lore advisor Pablo Hidalgo chose chaos.
He chose
There's
chaos.
No way he didn't know. And he's like, you know what? Some of them can eat meat.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. And I think he's right to do so. They're right to do so. Both the Eopes be eating meat, but also, hey, this just kind of makes sense there. I don't know how many plants are popping up out of the sand. In Tatooine. I know it's more complicated than that, but yeah, just tracks. All right, yeah, so we're going to get to it here a little bit, but I mean, there's a lot of time spent on one of the most legendary and most discussed Star Wars moments, the pod race, the pod race fart in episode one.
Yep, I love the way it's written in the entry. Could break wind if their load was too heavy. That's like, it's clearly like, hey, you put too much on their back, they're going to fart in your face. That's what's being said. But the way it's said almost sounds like a beautiful country song. You know, if your load is too heavy, baby, I'll help you break the wind. Like, it almost sounds majestic.
Yes. Yes. I've heard that song at the Grand Ole Opry, I think. George Jones sang it. Yeah, no, lovely. Yeah, we're going to come back to that. Put a big pit in that. Put a big Padres flag in that. But love it. Yeah, a lot of flavor in this here. As always, we like to kind of describe, especially if you're on the road and listening to us, maybe traveling to work and you can't not quite remember an EOP. I think by now you do, but we'll describe it. Joseph, how would you physically describe the wonderful beast of burden that is the EOPs?
This doesn't sound very respectful. I respect the EOP, but I really think of them as like a hose with legs. Like face is so, focused on that kind of hose like nose. And then, the rest of their, beast of burden body is pretty straightforward, except for those big old legs. So I think a hose with legs.
A hose with legs. I love that idea. Love that idea. Yeah. A lot of talk of them being the camels of Star Wars. And mm-hmm. I don't think that's wrong. In fact, didn't they say they had a camel as a stand-in at one point, at least in Kenobi? So I love that. I love the we're talking about the designs too. Yeah, we can get into that. But I accept the four-legged version. The fact that there's some samples of weird two-legged versions, nothing against them. I just know that.
Really?
Yeah. If you do a search, you can find one of them at least here. No, wait. No, you know what? It's an optical illusion. This one photo. I take it back. I think maybe I was looking at a photo that was a little different. But I know that what these creatures turn into in on Naboo, we'll talk about that. Talk about the connection. So a little different look to some of the designs. Anyways, sorry, I literally fell for an optical illusion. I now feel there's a lake in the middle of the desert. So going from there, you've described it well. Let's start with the big picture here. What is the magic of EOPs, Joseph? What do they add to the legend of Star Wars? Not legends, not the legends tab, but the legend of Star Wars.
You've already answered what they add to legends. The EOP who becomes a Jedi. That's a great, great story. I mean, a force fart. That's a powerful thing. I think Star Wars has this great long legacy of beasts of burden, right? Starting with the Banthas and the Dewbacks, starting with Tatooine and this idea of this sort of anthropological aspect of Star Wars of what is the environment? Therefore, how do people survive on that environment? How does that shape their culture? How does that shape our understanding of that planet, of those cultures? And then how does that tie back to real world connections to storytelling of specific environments, animals, cultures, all that. So like Beast of Burden is like no small thing in Star Wars to me. And then Empire, you get to the Tauntauns and all that. It just goes on and on. Right.
Yeah.
But the EOPs are like the Banthas were kind of weird and mysterious and the Dewbacks were kind of scary. And the EOPs are really lean. Those two maybe lean into the beasts in the phrase beast of burden, right? And the Yopi's like, I got the burden part. I think the magic is they take that idea of burden and like that's their whole personality is burden, you know?
Yeah.
And in particular, like meeting them in the Phantom Menace, everything that's going on Tatooine, they're new to Tatooine, but they make sense on Tatooine. Mm-hmm. Everything that's happening on Tatooine is pod racing. It's, trying to fix this ship. It's the fate of a Jedi and a Sith crossing blades for the first time. It's Qui-Gon finding Anakin and like all of this action and fate and running around. And in contrast, the EOPs are just like, oh, boy, their energy is such a contrast to what's going on Tatooine. Yeah.
Like a grumpy snuff Lufkitz voice there. Well, that's been Sesame Street. But yeah, I love that. You're setting them perfectly in the backdrop of the big saga.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about them, about their magic? Do you feel like they add to the big picture?
I do think, and I think it's one that grew over time. I didn't have, we'll talk about the sequence from the pod race. I had some thoughts on that, and maybe still do, but my appreciation for them grew over time, I think, just because they were brand new. They're in a bit of a controversial scene in Star Wars. And so it might have been easy to just kind of overlook them or form opinions on them as a Star Wars fan. I just think over time, I just love them even more. I think you're right. They slide right in to the legacy of Tatooine and creatures of this type. Dewbacks and Banthas, you're so right. It just kind of, now it's just part of the landscape that what is new becomes old and familiar if you allow it. And so therefore I love it. And was looking forward to, you know, Kenobi on an EOP, especially the end of Revenge of the Sith, we're kind of waiting for that. And even have the Jonathan Jackson Miller book where he has an EOP and it's named. So I think going in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, I was really excited about just seeing a new EOP. And then the trailer confirms that it's happening. I was thrilled by it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it's excited. And I guess, you know, part of their magic, too, is, we should throw Rontos in there as well that we were introduced to in the special edition. And the EOPs are like, get out of here, Ronto.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Great point. And I've grown to really love the Rontos, too. So, and I, you know, let's forget, love animals. Love them big and small. So it's just kind of, it just works for me in a lot of ways. EOPs, their place in Phantom Menace too. You're right. There's so much going on and they're just steady and sturdy. They're just doing, it's just, I don't know. I just love it. I love their presence in that movie.
Yeah. It's a great energy. So,
So, I want to go to there right now. Let's not bury this lead here. Let's go back to Phantom Menace. Let's go to the initial reaction to EOPs, and we'll include a little bit of it of that scene. I also have another question about that to be certain. But coming out of the theater in 99, EOP thoughts then, and particularly EOP thoughts at a pod race.
I think back in 99, I think EOPs, I was kind of excited to see something new. I was excited to probably buy some new, you know, figures that come with their Beast of Burden. And I liked the design fine, but I think somewhere deep down what's this with the EOPs putting Dewbacks out of work? I thought Dewbacks were like that, like the Banthas are the Tusken Raiders ride. Yeah. And then I kind of thought the Dewbacks were like, well, but that's the Beast of Burden, right? So I think there's a part of me that was mad at the EOP for taking the Dewbacks place in the spotlight. And I think I had a secret wish for, like, I was like, okay, the Dewbacks are probably like too big and even slower. Yeah. So like, are there any like, what's the race car at Dewbacks? Are there any little fast Dewbacks? Yeah, so I had some Dewback resistance, but I've come to love them more, which, you know, we can talk about with the farting and everything. But that, I think that was my initial reaction in 99.
It's so funny. There's a little bit of kind of what we're both discussing in a sort of way. And I mean, you know, a little jokey about this, but it is a little bit of the why Holdo, not Akbar vibe of why EOPs? You got Dewbacks and even Rontos. You don't need this. You don't need this. No. And then you got to embrace the new. And when you embrace an EOP, you got just a wonderful, wonderful, smelly friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the gas scene, the great gas scene in the pod race did affect me, right? Because I think I would have just been like, okay, I like their design. It's fine. They're weird space camel with the hose. They do look like they wandered out of Sesame Street, maybe related to Snuffleupagus, as you said. But man, hey, you add a scene where their primary action is flatulence. You know, that's how I walked out of the theater thinking about it. I'm like, yes, the flatulence ride. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I want to jump to that here. Considering we now know them to be bad-tempered, aka grumpy, stubborn, and aware of their load being too heavy. Like, they got thoughts on, you're asking me to do too much. Do you think that pod racer pulling windbreak and EOP was trying to speak up for itself in The Phantom Menace or just being a pill? Somewhere in between all of the above. Do you reinterpret that scene now?
I very much reinterpret that scene now, especially with that idea of the heavy load makes them more gassy. I don't think that EOP had as much of a load at the time, so I'm going to interpret that as an emotional load will also make them fart. The timing is very suspect, right? The way that EOP is just like just a few inches closer, Jar Jar, just a few inches closer.
Yeah. Look, it's mischievous. It gives that look back. You know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of subtext in the scene, but I think just adds. I haven't since putting this episode together and now recording. I haven't rewatched Phantom Menace. I think I'm going to have to. I can't believe I'm saying this. 23-year-old Ken would just fall out of his Chili's chair at the Chili's bar. I think I have to rewatch Phantom Menace just to recontextualize this scene, just to go back with some new knowledge about what this EOP's doing.
And you know what recontextualized it for me was at some point I watched that extended cut of the pod race intro that's got, I think, more pod racers introduced. It's got longer with the flags. but it's got a much longer multi-part passing of gas from the EOPI. And after seeing that and marveling that, like, oh wow, there was a much longer cut. Now when I watch Phantom Menace, like, this is tasteful and discreet in comparison to what the original cut was.
Do you think, sub question, that in the documentary Phantom Menace, the beginning, the great making of doc, that famous shot of Lucas after the screening going, I may have gone too far. Do you think that was edited out of context because the extra long gas pass scene? Maybe he was referring to that.
Yeah, I don't think he was talking about that. The fact that it was like four different battles cut together with varying emotional tones. No, I think he's like, yeah, that second, the second phrase of three of farting. That was too far.
Too far. And this is where, you know, I defend the Opie now in this moment. My reaction to even in 99 and working through all my Phantom Menace thoughts, came out of the theater, enjoying the pod race in general, really loving it, and really enjoyed the flag scene, the flag bearer scene, and the music, and it's epic, and it's a sweeping Star Wars moment, and it's kind of immediately undercut by this in my mind at the time. So even if there's some part of my heart that still really believes that, it's still not one of my favorite moments in Star Wars, I'll say, but I think I put the blame on the EOP and not George himself. So I'm going to make a documentary, People versus George Lucas's Fart Jokes, and we'll go from there. But, you know, so the EOP is clear in my mind now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, getting older and realizing this is really Lucas's intent is to have this kind of humor that is aimed at a younger audience with Jar Jar stepping in the poo-poo and getting shocked and all that stuff. I was like, yeah, no, I mean, it's never going to be my favorite, but I get it. I get where it's coming from. And I always like beats more, especially like animal beats when there's a sense of motivation from them, you know?
Yeah,
the porgs almost igniting the lightsaber to the eye is funny because you can see they're just like curious creatures going like, what is it? So you understand where they're coming from. I like the extended cut of the Fathiers on Canto Bight because that extended cut makes it clearer that they're like looking at the town like, let's F this place up. Yep. And taking that same energy here to this Eopi being like, this is a much longer and more stressful day than even I was expecting. And I need to let off some steam, literally.
Yeah, well,
it makes me like it better.
Yeah, it becomes a labor dispute, right? You talk about the politics of Phantom Menace. We need an EOP pod racing union, and he's speaking up for himself here.
It's practically a protest sign, right?
Exactly. Oh, that's hilarious. So in terms of Beasts of Burden in Star Wars, this isn't a Star Wars ranked episode. We're going to get back to doing some of those. But in terms of Beasts of Burden, how high on the list is EOP for you right now? You've listed a few great ones, including the Fathiers I put in that category, even though they're being used more for racing at this point. But yeah,
I think the EOPs have snuck up and they've surprised me. You know, I think like the Bantha is like very weird and alien, even though it's elephant like, it's still there's something, you know, just weird about it. The Dubak's kind of tapped into, especially when it's young, the dinosaur fascination. So I think the Eopies, at first, I was like, yeah, you know, maybe they're not as cool. But as I've gotten older and spent more time with them and there's been more storytelling, I like their design that they match Tatooine. They are of that environment, right? They just kind of look naturally like it is the camel connection, that they just look of the desert. And I kind of have come to really appreciate how good their design is, not to be like bonkers fantasy creature, but to be of that environment and speak to what life is like on that environment. So I've come to appreciate their design a lot more. And I really enjoyed the EOP in the Kenobi television show, but I enjoyed so much of the EOP storytelling in the Kenobi novel with the EOP names Rue, and there's some kind of pivotal storytelling moments. And you get a little bit of that, like Kenobi's trying to figure out how to kind of make friends with the EOP and treat it nice. And there's a little bit of EOP grump, and that novel really shot them up the list for me.
Oh, that's great. I might have to take a pass. I want to take a pass of that anyways, but that might be worth it. Me and you and an EOP named Rue. I love that. That's a great time. That's great. Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I'll throw Orbach's in there as well. A lot of great characters. I think, you know, the dewback was always kind of cool growing up, and I like lizards. So, you know, a lizard I can ride into battle, give me that. Banthas I love, and I've told the story before, but my first celebrity sighting was being in the San Diego Zoo, and they said that's the elephant from Star Wars who played a bantha, and I was like, the greatest moment of my life. It doesn't get better, and I don't think it did after that. I was like 67. So that was great. But, yeah, Eopie, it's just kind of slow and steady, and it might be winning the race. Now, I'll say this. The Book of Boba Fett really, really just endeared the Bantha to me. Yeah, I just love that. In fact, I was even on Battlefront 2 the other day on the Mos Eisley map, and there's a Bantha there, and its mouth is open, its teeth, and I just was like, oh, you little Bantha. I just love that. So Banthas are high, but yeah, Eopie, just slow and steady, and we need that in Star Wars. They truly are. They're not a beast of burden. They're a beast of dependability.
Yeah, and Kenobi wanting to treat his Eopie well and be friends with it. I love that he steals this little bit of meat to keep the Eopie happy. That's lovely.
Oh, it's not a save the cat moment. It's a save the Eopie moment in screenwriting. I love that. Final question here in this section. We'll take a quick break there. In the Wikipedia article, I was diving in a little deep, Joseph, and this is what I was talking about where I got a little confused over the two legs and everything. The Cadu was initially going to be used on Tatooine, but was shifted to Naboo for use by the Gungans. And that's a great creature, another great beast of burden creature, magnificent creature, rode into war there on Naboo. So would that, how do you feel? That's a big what if. What if Eopies were used by the Gungans? What if they kept Cadus on Tatooine and said, well, let's put Eopies and their flatulence over on Naboo for the Gungans?
Yeah, man, just like, the designs ended up matching their environment so well. It's hard to imagine. Like, I can see the Cadu on, on Tatooine. That's a little bit more exciting to watch Qui-Gon ride one of those because a little bit faster. He's not sauntering. I get that. But the Eopies, clearly, from what we saw in The Phantom Menace, Eopies and Gungans, maybe got a little tension.
Yeah.
I think if the Eopies were on Naboo, there'd just be a lot more farting.
Yeah, and it's just more entertaining to me that the Jar Jar versus the Eopie. Now there's some behind the scenes tension of, you know, I wasn't even supposed to be here. This Gungan making me lift all this stuff,
Lift this blah blah blah. Yeah,
love it. Great stuff. Yeah, love both creatures, and it all kind of works out the way it needs to be. You're so right about the Eopie just kind of being of Tatooine and looking like it belongs on Tatooine. So, all works out well. But hey, that's the thing with some of Star Wars histories and lore behind the scenes stuff. It is almost everything is changed, and you'll never see it again. You know, it's like you could never think of Cadus would not have been Cadus if they were on Tatooine to us. So. Nope. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to finish up our databank dive into the Eopies. Stick around here for more Force.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All right, welcome back to the 8th episode here of Data Bank Dive. We're having fun doing this. We hope you are enjoying our quick, kind of more faster paced look at some of the wilder corners of Star Wars there. The more windy corners of Star Wars, if you will. Joseph, make it a little personal here. You and I are both collectors, even though our Star Wars collections, aren't growing at a rate faster than they used to be as we slow down on what we purchase. Do you feel the EOP, and this is a leading question, do you feel the EOP has been properly represented in the merch and memorabilia arena, and what merch do we want?
Ooh, yeah, I mean, I think that overall the EOP did well, because I think almost anything in the Phantom Menace did well, right, to get some toys. Yeah, I'm pulling it up here. Oh, yeah. I can't pull it up on any site that I can buy. It needs to be image only, because I'm tempted to smash that buy button right on air. We got a good Qui-Gon with poncho on the EOP came out with the Phantom Menace with lightsabers flashing action. I want to believe that Qui-Gon is not slashing at the EOP. Yopi and Qui-Gon Jinn, the package says, like they're a little band. So yeah, good quality Yopi back in the day for Phantom Menace. Yeah. I might have owned this at some point. I don't remember. I'll have to go through everything. I also see that right now, in general, I've been trying to get away from the Funko Pops because they take up a lot of space and I prefer the action figures. But there is a Funko Pop of Obi-Wan riding the Yopi. And I also got to stay far away from smashing that buy button on that one, because I love that relationship.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm looking at it now. That's a maybe add to cart. And then they got the little 4-inch, the little adventure figures there that I love the style of, the Mission Fleet ones. This is the Mission Fleet one with Ben Kenobi and EOP. And you're right, the Qui-Gon one, I kind of forgot about the one. I'll admit, kind of forgot. And I love the figure is sitting on the OP, but it almost looks like Qui-Gon's like side saddle with the saber out, ready to leap off in the battle with that lightsaber slashing action.
If you just saw the toy, you would think that Maul also rode an EOP and they had like a fight on EOPs.
Joust. The slowest joust in recorded history.
Yeah. Oh my God. And this Obi-Wan Funko, the deal breaker for me in a bad way that makes me want to buy it is the tilt. It's mid walk, right? And Obi-Wan's leaning to one side. Ah.
So it looks like it's represented enough both in the past and now, but I just, I had to dig for some of these. I didn't think of some of these right away. So the fact that there isn't a full scale plush EOP, it's kind of breaking my heart. That's what I want.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm trying to remember if it's represented at Galaxy's Edge. I don't remember off the top of my head, because they have that one stand that's lots of like kind of stuffed animals of in Galaxy.
That's a good call.
And they like have Minox and everything. So EOPs should be represented there. I'm a big fan of those cinema scenes that they did in the late 90s and early 2000s, that it would usually be three characters, right? So a cinema scene, 3¾-inch Jar Jar in the EOP farting.
Yeah.
And maybe the third action figure is Kitster laughing.
Love that. A little
point and laugh. Yeah. So that's what love we need. That's what the merch we need next.
God, this, yeah. You could, I mean, like that puffer pig I have, you could just stick a little whoopee cushion in that EOP and squeeze. The possibilities are endless. They're juvenile, but they're endless.
Endlessly juvenile. Yeah.
I love that. Asked and answered, and more options than I kind of maybe initially thought. Final question here, Joseph. If you lived on Tatooine and had an EOP, what would you name it? What would you maybe want to do with it as well? Take it to town, be in a pod race. What do you got? Or just more importantly, again, what would you name it?
I think I would name it Axel. I may have told this story before. My beloved Chihuahua I had growing up ended up being named Nico, which I wouldn't change that now. Love that name, but wanted to call the Chihuahua Axel. And my parents said no, because they gave the yelling test any name and felt that if Axel was in the yard and we were trying to get Axel to come back in, the entire neighborhood would hear us yelling, asshole, asshole, asshole. Get in here, asshole. Don't eat that, asshole. Stop biting people, asshole. Get in here, asshole. So any the next animal I ever have in my life, I will name Axel.
I love, what's going on over at the Scrimshaw house, man? They're yelling that word a lot.
Yep.
That's amazing. I mean, yeah, I guess you got to do that yell test. People have heard me yell Francis in the backyard many times. Yeah, that's great. I think I would go meta. I'd be in character, so this wouldn't make sense if I was in Star Wars, but I would name it George.
Aww.
Just to remind us all of EOP and what was done with it.
George has a little bit of EOP energy in that famous clip of him walking behind the documentarian. There's a little bit of EOP energy going on.
Yes, the George EOP, he's an herbivore, but occasionally he'll go to Sbarro. Yes, he will. Oh, love it. We always have so much fun. I hope you all have a lot of fun before we get on out of here. The most important thing, we're going to rate the wild and weird factor of EOPs. Gosh, say it right, Kim. The wild and weird factor of EOPs. Our rating is based on one of the original Star Wars weirdos, Lobot. We love Lobot. So out of 10 Lobot heads, Joseph, one being the least, 10 being the most, how many Lobot heads do you give EOP?
You know, I was going to go as low as 6, because one of the reasons I like them is, like I said, they fit into Tatooine. They make sense. They're not as bonkers as, like, hey, here's a lizard dinosaur stormtroopers can ride, like the Dewback. But learning that they release flatulence on purpose as a grumpy response to anything they don't like, to the point where it's folk wisdom that you should ride the front EOP. That bumps them up to a good 7.5 out of 10 for me.
I love that. I think I was going to go a little lower too, but to learn that they're spiteful farters is definitely something that you have to value in Star Wars. So I'll stick right with you nearby. I'm going to go 7, 7 out of 10. They are so wonderfully normal in their own way. The design, being Star Wars that it is, but yeah, they are camels. They are beasts of burden. It just works. It works in levels, but then you add that personality and you put them into tough situations. And the fact that one of the Yopis at least really loves to chow down on meat. I'm there for it. It's all weird. It's all wild. So I'll go 7 out of 10. Good stuff.
Great
today.
Choice.
A lot of fun. And I'm sure we'll get to the Cadus at some point as well. So, hey, thank you all for listening to Data Bank Dive. We really love taking this fun, faster pace swing through the wild, weird parts of Star Wars. If you want to listen more, if you're just finding us or you just want to keep finding out more about us, you can go to Twitter and Force Center Pod. From there, you can find links to all the other places, Instagram, YouTube, and more. You can follow me at KedknapSock. Go to my website, KedknapSock.com. If you're local, September 2nd, got a big fun show at Flappers in Burbank. It's a anniversary show for their secondary room, the Yoo-Hoo room. Going to be a lot of fun. Big names have shown up in the past. Who knows? We'll show up this time, but I will be there. as well. On my EOP, riding it into town. Joseph, where can I find you?
You can find me and my EOP Axel hanging out on social media at Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all sorts of places. And you can visit my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for more comedy adventures.
There you go, my friends. That is it. We have taken a deep dive into the data bank, and what we found was a good friend for life. EOP. We'll see you next time here on Foresight.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.